In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When it comes to understanding the Holy Scriptures and God's story contained therein, there's a bit of Gnostic in each of us. By this we mean that as we hear the word read, our first inclination is to interpret the actions of the participants in that story apart from the ordinary way in which we ourselves experience God's work, that is to say, sacramentally and incarnationally. The danger in this course of action is that in removing the Bible stories from our common experience in Christ, we decrease their impact to the point where they become information to be shared instead of a life that is given and lived out. Thus, we circumvent God's intended order and become wittingly or unwittingly sinners. People fashioned after the pattern of Adam and Eve who ate so that they might obtain special knowledge. And so, in order to avoid a corporate revisitation of the fall here today, let us fix our eyes on this morning's gospel by asking, how was it that that centurion had faith? After all, that a Gentile, an officer of the mighty Roman army, would come to confess Jesus as his Lord and Christ remains a remarkable thing. Not surprisingly, St. Luke's parallel telling of this story that we've heard from Matthew reveals that that centurion had, in fact, already heard about Jesus. Indeed, not only had he heard about Jesus, but by all accounts, rather than being a stranger to the God of Israel, this man knew him, or better yet, was known by the Lord God. How do we know this? Well, for starters, the centurion understood the person and work of the Christ within the context of the Old Testament scriptures, even applying a portion of Psalm 107, he sent his word and healed them, to Jesus. But far more than just knowing the Bible, far more than understanding a few messianic prophecies, the centurion was a man shaped by God's word. So much so that he performed works of service, that is to say, acts of love. This as he helped build that synagogue in Capernaum, and then came to the Lord with prayers on behalf of his beloved servant. The word read and preached daily in that synagogue, divine love was given to that centurion so that he recognized in the coming of that same divine love. That is, the word he heard now become flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And please, don't misunderstand me. We're not trying to suggest that this commander of 100 was somehow saved by what he did, or even what he said. No, indeed, if anything, what he said to Jesus proved that works did not save him. For while his friends spoke to the Savior on his behalf, extolling all of his so-called good virtues, the centurion could say nothing good about himself. Lord, I am not worthy to come under your roof. Thus, with these words, we are reminded of another Bible story, the one of the sheep and the goats. In it, Jesus presents a picture of that last day, when the sheep will be surprised that they are singled out for salvation as they wonder, Lord, when did we see you sick and come to you? Surely on that last day, the centurion will come from the west to sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. For the Lord Jesus has invited him to eat, not toward knowledge, but for life. So we are left to wonder, how about us today? Why have we come and why will we eat? Will it be to gain knowledge or to have life? Well, you see, the same Lord Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, who entered Capernaum in our gospel and the world on Christmas, comes to us today sacramentally. That is to say, hidden in with and under the bread and wine, the Word made flesh makes his dwelling among us. As he comes, it is bearing the full weight of what he earned by his suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. My friends, Jesus comes not to offer knowledge, but life. This through water that is poured out over us in baptism, where we received what he earned, forgiveness, faith, and life. True forgiveness that brings us freedom to see the face of the Holy Triune God turned favorably toward us in Christ Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. True forgiveness, or a forgiveness given by his blood shed. True faith that is to be found only in the new Israel, Christ's church. This is a faith that continually confesses unworthiness to God, unworthiness to the one with the power to make us worthy in the Father's eyes. Yes, Jesus comes to give true life, the life he has earned, a life of resurrection and ascension to the Father's right hand. Truly, this is a place reserved for us already in baptism and experienced as we who are sheep eat the Savior's body given, drink of his blood shed. Therefore, it is to this table that the Savior calls us today from the north and the south, the east and the west. Here we shall sit with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the centurion, angels, archangels, and all the faithful. Here we shall sit in the presence of the one who spreads the table before us and then feeds us with the life he has earned. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Speak but a word, my soul will be healed. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, strengthen and keep you in your hearts and minds.